Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Mickey Ryan, Don Davenport with you. The Titans players reported to St. Thomas Sports Park today. Which means it's time. No rest for the weary. Titans cornerback Adoree Jackson joins us now. Adoree, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
We're good. Did you do anything extravagant in the time away from football?
Just playing 2K is extravagant. That's it. I just did that. Worked out and went to a couple weddings. So that's all I did this off season.
Oh yeah, you're in the wedding age, man. Gosh.
Exactly. So it's me getting used to it. It's actually pretty cool because people my age, I'm not a kid anymore, and I don't have to be chaperoned. You know.
I know, man. Hey, do you keep up with other sports? Like, were you all in on Tiger Woods yesterday?
I actually was driving back home from St. Louis. And I was just following on Twitter, though, but I made sure that I seen what was going on. I kept seeing people tweet memes about him putting pressure on the guy who was in the lead, and then eventually he ended up winning it, so that was pretty cool to see.
Isn't that amazing to try to compartmentalize mentally a 43-year-old dude with everything that he's been through, spinal fusion surgery, and he's out there just running these kids?
Man, it's all about being a competitor and having determination, you know? So him having those two components, I mean, the sky's the limit for that, and you know that's just a testament of bouncing back and not being discouraged and not hanging your head down on the lows that you had and making them high in the future.
Adoree Jackson with us on 3HL at Adoree Knows on Twitter.
Adoree, as you guys get in the building today, we had some of the guys who spoke to the media, and there were a couple things that came out a whole lot. The phrase of going good to great, and then the other thing that came out was trust, and maybe trust, I guess, is one of the ways that you guys will get from good to great. At least that's what we gathered after hearing from your teammates today.
Yeah, everything is all about trust, no matter what you're doing in life. So you're going to have trust in the situation that you're in and trust in somebody else. And we talked about accountability. So if you put trust in the coach's staff, you put trust in your brothers, and they're going to hold you accountable. And you're going to hold yourself accountable to do great things. So I'm just trying to take that leap and take that jump and not just being mediocre, being average, and just being good. We're trying to be great.
You guys, as a secondary, Kevin Byard said this. He said, you guys have no excuses to not be the number one secondary. What does that make you think about when you hear that?
About trusting each other and holding each other accountable. I mean, you don't ever play this game. You don't ever do anything in life to be second. I mean, that's not what you're doing when you're out there. So everything that we're going to do, we're going to put our best foot forward, working hard, being dedicated, being determined, going out there grinding, and, you know, let the rest speak for itself. But, you know, the opportunity is, you know, always try to be number one, and you never want to be second. So with him saying that, it makes sense.
Adoree, you always talk about, or a quote that you use or have used often is God didn't bring me this far just to bring me this far. What is the next step for you, do you feel, that you want to take in your game?
Just develop my whole game, not just physically, mentally, being there athletically. You know, I have those tools, but, you know, breaking it down technique-wise, just the little details. We always talked about, you know, the small wins lead to a big win. So the little things going to eventually lead up to that big play and everything else that I want to happen. And it's just about, you know, not hanging my head low, not hanging my head down, understanding that it's all on his timing. So I didn't come this far just to come this far. And I know there's always a greater meaning and a better story behind it. So just me just being humble, being positive, and understanding that, you know, when the time is coming, when it's my turn to eat the cookie, then I'm going to have it.
How much does having Dean Pease back help you get to that cookie?
It's great because, like we talked about earlier, when you said trust, you know, we know a whole defense. We got trust in that defense. We understand what he wants. He understands what we can do, and he's just going to put us in position to go out there and succeed. So having him back and being familiar with that defense and just being able to go out there and then the stuff that you didn't know last year or stuff that you did know, you just refresh on that stuff that you didn't know. You try to get better on that around this time.
Adoree Jackson, our guest with the Titans. Is this the year that you focus just on defense?
That's what I've been doing all offseason. That's what I've been doing ever since that I came out of the draft, you know, just trying to hone in and focus on playing defensive back. I mean, I grew up playing three different sports. Went to college, did two sports, then do spring ball. So it's me just trying to put everything together. And I know it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. So I've never been discouraged or been worried about, you know, myself or my play or what anybody else is saying about me, because, you know, they're not out there on the field with me. They're not out there in my life seeing what I'm trying to do to get better. So for me, it's just me staying positive. And like the quote I always say, he didn't bring me this far just to come this far. So just about trying to get better and be mentally sharp.
Having said that,
I was going to say, I was kind of asking more on special teams, defense, both.
Yeah, would you prefer someone else to catch punts?
Yeah.
I really don't mind if somebody does it or not. Obviously, I like to have the ball in my hands and try to make electrifying plays, but whatever is best for the team. So I'm not going in there with my resume saying I need to do this or making demands. Whatever I feel like it is what they need for the team. Like last year, they put DJ back there to do kick returns, and he did a great job. And I never was disappointed. I'm always happy for someone else to succeed, because it's going to benefit them and benefit our team. So I'm never I don't worry about that. So if they put me back there and I return them, I do. If not, well, just try to get better on defense.
Well, I'll throw out a little element to your resume. I'd like to see you carry the football a little bit. I mean, you're averaging 11 yards per carry. 60% of the time you get a first down.
Just drop it in your hands from somewhere. Bubble screen, man.
Hey, if that happens, I mean, my resume is, you know, the SD tape and what I got a little bit this year. So if they do throw me out there, like I said, I'm not going to deny it. That'd be foolish to me. That's like somebody saying, do you want some money? And you say, no, you don't take that.
Hey,
no, I'm not saying I don't want it, but if it happens, you know, I'm still taking it.
It's really funny. Well, the draft's coming up, which reminds me, oddly enough, of your high school like clips, like your highlights. Do you ever like sit around and say, hey, man, look at this? Because high school tape is the most ridiculous high school highlight film I've ever seen.
You know, it was crazy. I think I was with my friends, and I was just sitting down. We were just watching, like, highlights, and then my highlight just randomly came up. We ended up watching, and I think I haven't seen my highlight tape in a while, and I actually just seen it, like, this offseason. And it was just one of those moments, like, man, it was a blessing to be able to do that and have fun and enjoy that moment. So it's always a good, you know, subtle reminder, you know, and reassurance, like, man, it feels good. And it was just one of those things where it just warmed your heart up, made me smile a little bit.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Go watch your USC tape, man. I mean, the day they drafted you, we were sitting in the studio, and we found a highlight reel that was like 11 minutes long of you doing nothing but scoring dynamic touchdowns. I guess it was beautiful, man.
I appreciate that. You know what? Since you just said, I'm going to go back and watch.
I mean, like, it was, I love it. It was like, okay, I forgot about that. Oh, okay. Oh, I forgot about that play. It was just bananas. What, to see that, though, and you know what you did in high school, and you know what you did at USC, but when you get to this level, the NFL, it's got to be amazing just seeing how athletic and what literally everybody on the field is capable of doing.
It goes back to my dad. He used to always tell me, like, was just so crazy. And I was in elementary school. I was in fifth grade. And every year that I went up, he'll say, okay, you think you're good? Wait till you get to this level. Wait till you get to this level. And it always is a testament of, you know, focusing and grinding, because everybody's talented. And it's probably been people more talented than me when I grew up in Illinois and then when I went to California, but I ended up making it out. So it's always it's a blessing and honor. And then to see all those guys who had the same vision you and have the same determination, you know, out there on that field, grinding it out and doing the thing that you do, it's nice to see.
Adoree Jackson, our guest. The draft is right here in our city. What, week and a half or so away? You were a first round pick in 2017. What stood out to you about that draft day and getting drafted and the entire process?
Oh, it was chaotic, you know, for me. And, you know, I think it was more, you know, my family wanted to go. I actually wanted to, my grandma was sick at the time and she had passed away. So I wanted to stay home and do the draft there so I can be with my, you know, all my family come and see me. But my parents wanted to go. And so I went to the draft. I was in Philly. And it was just a lot going on. Like, I remember having to leave the hotel at 5. I didn't get drafted until like 11:30. I don't end up leaving the interviews and stuff until like 1 or 2 in the morning. So it was just a long day, a long process. But what kept me distracted was I was on my phone playing dominoes with my friends. So I feel like I tried to, I knew, you know, it was already written. So I tried to stay composed and stay level-headed because whatever it was in store for me was already in store. So it's just a chaotic time, and I think it's more for the people around you to enjoy and celebrate. But once you hear your name called, I think that's more of a testament to itself. Like, man, all these 21 or however old you are, how many years it took you to get here, it paid off.
So during the draft and during the process, did you get a read that the Titans wanted you and that if you were there at 18 that they would take you, or were you kind of surprised by that?
I kind of was surprised, and I wasn't at the same time. I just remember doing my team 30 visits, and they said they need a receiver and a corner. And I remember all the teams who needed cornerbacks and all the corners that were in the draft who was supposed to go first round, and seeing all the teams take who they wanted to take. And then I just remember the Titans taking Corey Davis at the fifth pick, and I was just sitting there like, well, they need a corner. But it didn't resonate in my mind, like, oh, you know, they would pick me. But my phone ended up ringing. It was like two picks before, which was just crazy. I think it was I don't know who was before us, or two picks before us. My phone ended up ringing, and I was just on the phone literally for a good 3 seconds. I didn't hear nobody say anything. And I was about to hang up the phone. I was like, oh, maybe they got the wrong number or with the wrong line. So I was about to hang up the phone, and I hear Jai Robinson act. He speaks and says, are you ready to be a Titan? And then that moment right there was like, damn, like, this is it. So I didn't think they were going to draft me. When they did, I was like, well, this is where it was meant to be.
Two picks in front of the Titans. Baltimore Ravens at 16 chose Marlon Humphrey, cornerback, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after that, I think the next pick was up. And before they said the pick is in, my phone was ringing. So it was just crazy. I was like, oh, man, I don't remember who 17 was. I'm like, okay, look like I'm going here. And then sure enough, whoever went before me, and then I already knew a while, like, okay, I was going to the Titans. So it was pretty cool.
Washington Redskins, Jonathan Allen, defensive end, Alabama. Then the Titans took you.
Okay, so I met with the president, I think, I met with the president of the Redskins before, and so I was like, oh, well, this might be the team that's picking me, because my phone rang, and sure enough, it was the Titans.
That's funny. Hey, going back to high school real quick, one of the more highly recruited players in the country, how close did it get with Tennessee?
It was in there to the end. I remember it was crazy. I was so scared to call Coach Butch Jones and tell him I wasn't coming. Like, it was one of those things where I was so attached to the teams that I was thinking about going to: Tennessee, Florida, LSU, USC, and UCLA. And I remember me just narrowing it down. I was telling my dad, like, man, I know where I want to go, and I'm just narrowing it down. And, you know, the school started to narrow and narrow down. I called my dad. I was like, hey, can you just call him and tell him I'm not coming?
What is that like, though, Dory? Because most people, they don't ever go through something like that. But to have to make that decision when you're 17, 18 years old, yeah, that's got to be unbelievable pressure, because people tweeting at you and the coaches are calling you, and you find people that you like along the way at every school. That's got to be hard, man.
Yeah, I think the relationships that you build, and, you know, like you said, being 17, 18 years old, you don't know a lot, but you just have your parents in there in your corner to back you up. So, you know, having them there made it a lot easier. I just remember being scared. I was at school. It was like lunchtime, and I ended up calling. I called and hung up. I called my dad. I was like, man, you should call him. He was like, man, you got to be a man, so you got to call him and let him know you're not coming. And then from that point on, that's when I just started making decisions on my own, you know, talking to my parents and let them know what I was about to do. And it was nerve-wracking, and it was just a lot of pressure, because it's like, man, I built these relationships. It was a good guy, a good person, and a lot of good people there that I've met. And I was like, man, I don't want to be a disappointment to them or let them down. But I remember when I seen him at the draft, he showed me his picture that I took in my uniform, in their uniform at the official visit, and he had it still on his phone and showed it to me. And I was like, man, that just shows the testament of a good guy he was in the relationship that we built, and he's still a great guy.
You know, you mentioned a lot of great schools, man. I would have been intrigued by LSU, because Les Miles is like literally my favorite person in like the sports world, because that guy is capable of anything.
Nah, crazy. Les Miles, no, this was the craziest thing ever. I think it was my mom and dad there, and the Les Miles thing, let me just talk to him. And so, I mean, I'm sitting there with Coach Miles, we're just chopping it up, and I don't know if it's his voice, how he talked, the swag he got, but I was like, man, I might as well just commit to LSU on the spot right now. I'm sitting there thinking about doing it, but I was like, man, I don't want to make a decision, you know, right there at the moment, and let me just wait it out. But they're very persuasive there, you know, the track element, letting me play offense, the defensive side, you know, the history they have behind that. So that was one of the decisions where I was like, man, it was a tough decision to depend on who I was going to pick.
Awesome, man. Hey, it's always great checking in with you. Great to have you back in town, and we'll see you over there.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. You guys take care.
All right. Adoree Jackson at Adoree Knows. How funny is that, dude?
He's awesome.
I'm either going to stay on the West Coast, or I'm going to go to Tennessee, Florida,
or LSU.
LSU, yeah.
Or the West Coast. Like, nowhere in between.
Big-time football programs, though.
Big-time player.